Welcome to the Code Catch Up podcast. My name is Jamie Jones. In this episode, we're going to be talking about Vue.js 2.0. Now, it's been out for a little while now, I think nearly a month. So for anyone who doesn't know what Vue is, so Vue is one of those other libraries or frameworks in the front-end JavaScript ecosystem. So you can think of things like React and Angular and things like that. It more sits closely alongside React, in my opinion. But it's just one of those alternatives that are growing at a fairly exceptional rate in terms of adoption and use. And hitting 2.0, there's been some pretty big changes. So if you want to go check out to find out all the underlying things about Vue and why it's good and things like that, you can check that out at vuejs.org. I won't go into that in this episode. I might actually do a full episode on Vue JS at a further point in the future. At the moment, just going to go over the 2.0 updates here in particular. But the reason why I mainly want to cover this is because of the adoption, which is growing quite a lot, and it's being used and being sponsored by quite a number of various companies. So it's not just a single company like React, where it's mainly pushed by Facebook, whereas Vue is pushed by companies like Laravel, for example. I think there's a bunch of others. What were they? I'll just have a quick look. So JS Fiddle, for example, another one you probably know, The Difference Engine, Monterail, TriSoft, a whole bunch of those kind of companies are behind it. So it's got that not so much mono company culture behind it, like things like you see with Rails, even though it is community contributed. There's a big push from Basecamp of how Rails is developing, etc. So with these updates, performance is a pretty big one. Now, Vue's always been super light, which is really nice. So there's some stats here. I'm grabbing a lot of this information from Evan Yu's Medium article, which I've linked in the show notes. Really great article. It's very short read. It's about 5 minutes. Really, really nice if you want to check out and find out what's new with Vue. But if you're completely new to Vue, I recommend checking out vuejs.org and then coming back to this article to kind of get an overview of what has recently come in. You will see, or you won't really be able to tell what's new and what's not. So really nice to be able to do that. So I'd do that first. So performance, sticking with that, if vanilla JavaScript is at 1x, Vue 2 is at 1.37x. This is comparable to previous at Vue 1.0.26, which was 2.16. Now, if you look at React, which is 15.31, that's at 1.82. So you're looking at around about a 0.5-ish difference in terms of performance there. Now, you know, it's arguable we're getting to that point where does that performance really matter? On more heavy applications, more than likely that's going to add up quite a lot. But as you can see, it is a lot lighter than React in that regards there. So basically, the rendering layer has been rewritten. It's using a very lightweight virtual DOM implementation, which they forked from SnabDOM. I'm probably butchering how that's pronounced. But basically, on top of that, the template compiler, it's able to do some very smart optimizations. This is where it's becoming a lot quicker. And because of those smart optimizations, the rendering layer has to do a lot less work. And basically, this provides a pretty significant performance improvement compared to version 1. So that's making Vue itself being probably one of the fastest kind of frameworks out there. Even though it's really hard, like React is a library, not a framework, so it's kind of hard to compare those kind of things. But saying that, if Vue is really a full kind of framework, it's doing pretty well to be, whereas frameworks are generally kind of seen as something more fleshed out, a lot more that it has to. It's not so simple as what a library is. So interesting thoughts there. The other thing is it's delivery, its bundle size, its runtime build is actually really, really, really tiny. And this is why I think it was Spark from Laravel, so it's kind of like a SaaS product kind of boilerplate. They use Vue to actually do a lot of their JavaScript manipulation in the backend parts of the SaaS application they get from Spark. And they do that because it is super lightweight, super easy to learn. And this is just going to make it even better for them. So I'm not too sure where Spark is at, if it's still a thing or what, but I'm sure they'll be updating to Vue 2. So that's 16 kilobytes minimizing gzip. That's nothing in terms of runtime build. If you add on Vue and the Vue router and the Vuex, that's in the latest release, 26 kilobytes minimized and gzipped. So adding an extra 10 kilobytes there to get the router and the Vuex stuff. In comparison, so if you have all those features that you'd want to be using, you look at previous version 1, that was 26 kilobytes minimized and gzipped. So basically, you're getting the Vue router and the Vuex in there for free. It's pretty impressive to see that performance gain there. So the render functions. So Vue 2 maintains a fairly large, well, close compatible template syntax. There's only very minor deprecations there, but they have actually added a CLI tool to help any of these migrations and with the deprecations. It'll do most of what you need it to do, which is nice. And I quite like that because the upgrading some projects from like 1 to 2 is just painful. With that render, the render functions updates, there's also optional JSX support. Now, JSX is growing massively, especially from the adoption because of React. And JSX is really nice. So you can't say it's not a nice thing to work with. It really makes a lot of front-end work easy, really. There's a no-brainer. There's no context shifting. It's nice. So it's good that there's optional support for JSX there. So basically, that the render functions are opened up to be very powerful component-based patterns, which is kind of where everyone's going. So it's nice to see there. The server-side rendering. So Vue 2 supports server-side rendering with streaming and component-level caching. You know, this is a kind of a given that you need to be doing these days. The next thing is supporting libraries. So one of the big things that I found with projects updating when it's quite a big jump, like this is a big version jump, is that any kind of supporting libraries, modules, things like that, they don't generally catch up straight away. So their Vue router, Vuex, etc., their CLI tool, all are up to date, which is really nice. So straight out of the box, you can go and do basically everything you need to do. It's one of the problems that a lot of open source projects have at major version jumps is there's this catch-up period. Now, being in the Drupal sphere, not as much as I used to, but the big problems when a major version release of Drupal would come out is just waiting for some of these contributed modules to catch up. It's good that it seems to be, with Drupal as well as other things, they're starting to try and combat that. And this is a really good move by Vue. So I'm very impressed. I'm glad to see that's happening. And that's essentially it. So there's been some, the major things really are the performance updates. There's a little bit of an API change in regards to that. You can get the JSX support, which I think is going to benefit a lot of people. And especially if you are a React developer and you want to check out Vue, that could be a good option to kind of get in there and get your feet wet a bit easier because you can insert something in there that you know. Although it might be a bit detrimental, it might be better to try the Vue JS complete flow, the way it does things. But that's essentially all I wanted to talk about in this episode. I'd love to know your thoughts. You know, have you been using Vue since 1.0? Have you just checked it out at 2.0? What have your experiences been like? I'd love to know. So send through a tweet to @CodaCatchUp on Twitter. You can leave a comment on CodaCatchUp.com for this episode, or you can send through an email to CodaCatchUp@gmail.com. Or if you are in the Slack channel, which you can get to at, I believe it's slack.codacatchup.com, and join in there. You can ask questions in there. But other than that, catch the next episode.